Sophia Dembling, a prolific blogger for Psychology Today's The Introvert's Corner and PsychCentral.com, used to wonder if she was a cold-hearted snob. She often felt reluctant to go to parties, was very selective with whom she spent time with, hated talking on the phone, and often liked to just be alone. But when she started learning about introversion a few years ago, she realized that there wasn't a thing wrong with her. The more she learned about being an introvert, the more comfortable she was with it and with herself. So her new book, The Introvert's Way, is Dembling's handbook that helps introverts affirm that their way of life isn't lesser than an extrovert's, it's just different. Sophia Dembling, I welcome you to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here. At what point in your life did you realize that you could be labeled an introvert?
Well, you know, I'd always sort of worn the label lightly in the past. I have an undergraduate degree in psychology. We talked about it. But about 2008, 7 or 8, I read another book about it and began to understand the nuances of introversion. And the more I wrote about it and talked about it and thought about it, the more I realized how well it fit me and how important it was to understand and accept that label, though some people don't like labels, and live according to that.
When you look at those labels, why do you think we ultimately put it into two categories? You're either an introvert or an extrovert.
Well, you are either an introvert or an extrovert to an extent, but it exists on a continuum. So some people are going to be very introverted. There are people who can't imagine why I would want to go to a party at all. And there are people who fall right smack in the middle, and they have days where they want to run outside and, you know, be extroverted, and then days when they want to shut the door a little. So I think we exist all along that continuum. But I think it's important to kind of get who you are, because the more you understand who you are and what your strengths and perhaps limitations are, the more successfully you can live in our society.
How much of this is simply how we look at it and how we define it? So if you say that an extrovert says that, okay, just because you want to spend time alone, an extrovert will say that there's a breakdown of communication, where an introvert could look and see, well, I just want to have a comfortable silence. So how much of it is how we define it?
How we define introversion and extroversion, or the world around us?
I think the act of in this case just being alone.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that we see the world differently. In the book, I relate an anecdote of a woman who saw a couple sitting at breakfast, each with a Kindle, reading, and the woman who was writing about this on Facebook was an extrovert and thought it was just a horrifying sign that, you know, technology is separating people. And I thought, well, maybe they're reading the newspaper, you know, and that's a very my husband and I read the newspaper together in the morning, and it's a very companionable, intimate thing for us. And her response was, well, even so, they need to be talking. So it's really a very different perception. And the extrovert perception has dominated for so long that we've come to believe that it's better and right. But the more we talk about the introvert's perception, the more perhaps the balance will start coming between how we perceive introversion versus extroversion.
Well, there's the way that we perceive it, is say that we as introverts can perceive it, and then there's the way that the extroverts and the world can perceive it. And if those don't match, that doesn't matter.
I don't think it does. I think it's up to introverts to start sort of gently educating extroverts that, I mean, one of the big sticking points is that when introverts need alone time, need downtime to recharge, other people sometimes take it personally and feel it's a rejection. And we need to gently start educating our loved ones and our friends that this is not about you and rejecting you. This is about me taking care of my needs in order to be a fun person. Because if you push an introvert too hard and too long, they get a little cranky.
What would the character traits of an introvert be?
Hmm?
What would the character traits of an introvert be? How are we defining that?
Well, it's a definition that's evolving. The one that I work with most and that a lot of introverts feel good about came from Jung, which is that extroverts gain energy being around people, and introverts tend to be drained of energy. Introverts being around people, introverts' energy is turned inward, extroverts is turned outward. And that's why in my book I talk about energy management a lot, and I believe that to be the most important skill introverts can learn is how to recognize when their energy is being depleted and how to take care of themselves so that they have the energy they want for the things that are important.
And then what are the, and then how would you define extrovert?
Extroverts gain energy from being around people. They're happiest in interactions. They're more comfortable than introverts for the most part in large groups of people. Introverts tend to like intimate one-on-one small groups. You know, I say I like, my idea of a perfect party is, you know, maybe 15, 20 people, most of whom I know. An extrovert's idea of a great party would be 150 people and they can make a bunch of new friends.
You make the point in the book, and I think it's an interesting one, is that how being an introvert is not the same as being shy, that they are two very different things.
Very different, very important to realize, and a very tenacious myth about introversion. Shyness is a behavior. Shyness is fear. You might want to be around people, but you get fearful and uncomfortable, and both introverts and extroverts can be shy. Introversion is motivation. It's how much you desire and need and require to be around people and social interaction. Shyness can be changed, and in fact, it can be an obstacle. Shyness is not a great thing. It's an uncomfortable way to live. Introversion appears to be inborn. It tends to remain stable from childhood into adulthood, and there's nothing wrong. It doesn't need to be fixed. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're working with it, it is not an obstacle to success.
And you say to a large extent that shyness can be overcome while introversion cannot.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It can't, and nor does it have to be. Now, that's not to say that we can't behave as extroverts. Many of us can behave quite extroverted. It is a behavior as opposed to sort of a trait. You know, there's a difference between being extroverted and behaving extroverted. Now, I can get out there. I can talk to you. I can talk to, you know, I can do public appearances, I can go to parties, I can be fine, but I need to recover afterwards. That's why sometimes people don't recognize that even they themselves are introverts, because we can behave as extroverts. Extroverts, on the other hand, can do that a whole lot longer than we can.
Right. Well, it's what you can, as you say, you can manage in the world, but it doesn't mean you have to like it.
You don't have to like it, and even if you do like it, you might need to recover. You might need to recharge or reboot.
Yeah, so what do you mean by that word recover?
Well, energy gets depleted. I just heard a great phrase from an introvert who said when she gets depleted, she runs out of nice. She just has trouble being friendly and nice and interacting. I tend to have a little, when I start getting overextended, I have a little more trouble putting my thoughts together. I have a little more trouble being friendly. We get a little cranky. And so when we pull back and spend that time alone, it's sort of, we settle down a little bit. We get our energy back, and we're able to put a friendly face out to the world again.
Why do you think, and we were discussing this earlier on the program in anticipation of our conversation, and that is about people who are labeled introverts but go into professions that lead them into sort of an extroverted career. And
what?
Go ahead.
Well, I believe that any career is open to introverts or extroverts as long as you understand yourself and who you are and how to work with it. I mean, certainly there are plenty of introverted performers.
Right.
And this is because you basically have control of your airspace, is the way I think of it. You know, it's not like people coming at you and you're having to think on your feet, and people aren't taking from you. You are giving out. And so it's your control. But even sales, for example, which is a pretty extroverted style of job, if you look at yourself and say, okay, I can make face-to-face calls, but I don't like the telephone, so that's how I'm going to structure my sales job. Or I can make 4 phone calls, and then I need to take a walk around the block to clear my head out. The trick is simply understanding where your limitations are, to use a word I don't like, and work with those rather than saying, I can't do that because it's an extroverted job, if you happen to be drawn to that job. If you get yourself in a job and you think, well, this is just awful, I hate it, that's a different story altogether.
When you think about this, and I want to go back to something you talked about, how an introvert really does have, in some cases, a responsibility of educating extroverts in the outside world that what they're doing is okay, and you can be good with that, and reframe the way that it's seen. How should someone go about doing that?
Well, I think it's a matter, and I talk a lot about that in the book, of strategies of just doing it a little bit at a time all the time and to not apologize. So every time you leave a party early, every time you say, I need a break and close the door, every time I tend to, you know, even when I'm visiting family and stuff, I'll have my first cup of coffee in bed because that's how I sort of get going. But if you do it gently and don't let people goad you into feeling defensive about it, I think people will start to understand. And if you explain that this is how you don't get cranky, I think one of the reasons introverts might get a little reputation for being unfriendly is because they tend to push themselves too far, and that's when they get cranky. Eventually, people start understanding that when they let you take that space, you're a lot more fun to be with. And so they eventually will start recognizing and encouraging you to go sit alone for a while because it's time.
What kind of reaction do you get from introverts? And writing about this subject, what is the reaction that you get?
The main reaction I'm getting is, oh, thank goodness. Somebody is saying this. Oh, thank goodness. I recognize myself. I thought I was weird. I thought I had a problem. I've been trying to change. People have told me I'm wrong. And so there's just this tremendous sense of relief and sort of a new pride and a new comfort with who they are, which is extremely gratifying to me, and I'm happy about that.
The name of the book is The Introvert's Way. Sophia Dembling, I thank you very much for joining us this morning and appreciate you sharing this with us.
Thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Again, the name of the book is The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World. The author is Sophia Dembling. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.